This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And for the rest of the program today, we're going to have another in our series of conversations on how a warming planet is affecting us, and particularly our farmers. It's been just over 2 months since a dust storm blew across Interstate 55 south of Springfield, leaving darkness and death in its wake. 84 cars smashed into a single mass of metal and fire, blackening the pavement and killing 8 people, with at least 3 more injured. According to authorities, the storm was likely caused by wind gusts of more than 50 miles per hour, sweeping soil off of farms that had just recently been planted. It's evoked comparisons to the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. But this is 2023, and the events of May 1st have led to something of a reckoning for farmers in the area and across Illinois. What made it possible for so much soil to be carried off the fields and onto the highway? What can farmers do differently? And what's keeping them, in some cases, from making those changes? Meteorologists are also learning about how to better track these storms and communicate with authorities and the public when conditions are dangerous. Joining us now to talk about all of this is Ed Shimon. He's warning coordination meteorologist with the Central Illinois Office of the National Weather Service in Lincoln. Ed, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, thanks for having me on the program.
Also with us today, Dylan Cook, who's Midwest Policy Manager for the American Farmland Trust. He's also a first-generation farmer who owns and operates Cook Farm in Bloomington, Illinois. Dylan, welcome to you as well.
Hi, Brian. Happy to be here.
And Liz Ruppel is lead organizer for the Illinois Stewardship Alliance. Liz, thank you for being with us this morning.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation today. Ed, can you just say a little bit more than I did in the introduction about how a dust storm like the one we saw on May 1st can form?
Sure, yeah. You kind of need, in our area, the perfect combination of conditions where the soil has been recently worked over. Plus, it's very dry in the aftermath of that, or even during, you know, where you have very dry soils that are worked over. And then you have a system come through that generates winds of at least 40 miles an hour or a little bit higher, because we saw that you needed about 40 mile an hour winds to really generate the amount of visibility reduction. So just the unique combinations of those three have to come together in just the right sequence for you to really get, you know, the level of dust storm that we had on May 1st.
Dylan, I want to bring you into the conversation now because the practice of tilling has been a big part of these conversations. Briefly, for those of us who are not farmers, what is tilling? How is it conventionally done?
Well, you know, tilling is a big, broad term, and even for those of us that aren't farmers, I think it's understandable if you've ever been in your backyard with a spade working in your own garden. At base, it is, you know, mechanical manipulation of the soil to try and create conditions that are, you know, conducive for crop growth. And it can be everything, like I said, from a spade in your backyard to, you know, some of the large field cultivators that I'm sure we're all aware of, you know, driving down rural roads in Illinois. You know, it really has a couple of goals, looking to incorporate previous crop residues or amendments, fertilizers, compost, et cetera, controlling weeds, and you know, ultimately hoping to establish a good seed bed. Here in Illinois, you know, primarily corn and bean ground, conventional tillage generally looks like or is understood as, you know, a fall tillage pass and a spring tillage pass. And that's considered conventional for the Midwest on commodity ground.
Liz Ruppel with the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, climate change tends to be a big part of these conversations. How has climate change affected the conditions for farming in general?
Right. That is a great question. I think over time we are seeing, I mean, just in the past couple months, we have seen a traumatic dust storm, Canadian wildfires. We've been through a drought. And then just as you were talking about with Gretchen, derecho winds coming through here. So farmers are being impacted with unprecedented weather conditions on the farm. And they're having to battle with increased rainfall events, droughts, and everything in between. I think I think that's where I'll leave it right there.
Fair enough. All right. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. We are talking about how a warming planet affects all of us, particularly through the lens of that dust storm that blew across Interstate 55 south of Springfield back in May. There was an 84-car crash. 8 people were killed in that. We're talking about this with Liz Ruppel, who is with the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, Dylan Cook, Midwest Policy Manager for the American Farmland Trust and a farmer in Bloomington, Illinois, and Ed Schimmann, who's Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the National Weather Service Office in Lincoln. Again, 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. What do you want to know about the dust storms that came up in Illinois and the threat that could remain here? 800-222-9455. This is the 21st show. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are looking back at that major dust storm that blew across Interstate 55 south of Springfield earlier this year. It was on May 1st. 8 people were killed when 84 cars smashed into a single mass of metal and fire in that. There were wind gusts of more than 50 miles an hour that swept soil off of farms that had recently been planted. We're talking about all this with Dylan Cook, who's Midwest Policy Manager for the American Farmland Trust, Liz Ruppel, who is lead organizer for the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, and Ed Schimmann, Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the National Weather Service Office in Lincoln. Ed, let me ask you, if someone ends up inside of a dust storm, what can they expect to see? I guess if they can see anything at all.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the point. Encountering these dust storms is almost like driving into dense fog, so to speak, except, you're just not expecting a fog. Sometimes, we can get a better handle on when they're going to develop, but dust storms can rapidly develop. You see nothing or very short distances. You have to slow down. And then that's typically what can cause the accidents, where you rapidly decelerate and the person behind you just can't see you. And then the smashes start, so you have to, as quickly as you can, remove yourself from the roadway the safest way you can. And they're saying that you don't want to actually have your taillights flashing, because people tend to drive towards the lights because they think that's the roadway, and then they can actually smash into you as well. So you want to remove yourself from the roadway as quickly as possible and get your car out of harm's way and yourself. You don't want to exit your vehicle into the roadway. It's just a very dangerous situation, as evidenced by the one that we had on May 1st.
That's such a great point. I noted that you were not supposed to turn on your flashing lights, but I had never yet heard the rationale, which I guess you make yourself a target because people think that's the road and they're going to follow the lights. Okay, so if you do pull into the ditch or into the median or somewhere out of the way, make yourself as invisible as possible, I guess, so you're not sort of attractive to the vehicles behind you. When the warning went out this spring, it was the first time I remember seeing anything like that here, but the meteorologist at our home station, Illinois Public Media, told us these may be more common than we realize, but they're happening in remote areas, so there's little in the way of attention or consequences like we saw. Ed, does that strike you as possible or accurate?
Yes, yeah. The conditions have occurred in central Illinois in the past. There were 2 deaths from an event back in 2017 that affected from McLean to Bloomington on I-55. We didn't actually have a dust storm warning issued for that one. It was a shorter event, but still very impactful. But, they do occur, and we have actually evidence, one in 1990 and one in 1983. So the conditions have occurred. It's very infrequent, but the impacts can be significant, as seen in the May 1st event. So, we have to be acknowledging these conditions as they develop and potentially get ahead of these dust storm conditions if they ever do develop again.
Sure. All right, so Dylan, we talked about we talked a bit ago about the sort of conventional form of tilling, or the, I guess the broad category of tilling. There are many different ways of going about it. And maybe you can take us through some of those and some of the differences from, you know, conventional tilling in terms of how that affects soil conditions and, you know, the sort of erosion that can come into play in a dust storm.
Sure. So, in a conventional tillage is disturbing the soil, and anytime you do that, you lead to more risk of soil erosion. It breaks it up, it aerates it, and makes it, you know, eat more, softens it, makes it easier to run away in rain or blow away in wind. So while we've made some progress away from practices like moldboard plowing, where we turn the soil completely over and bury all the residue, we still do see a fair amount of tillage throughout the Midwest. In any practice of that is going to lead to increased risk of erosion and wind erosion, like we saw earlier this year.
But there are alternatives that involve less tilling or even no tilling, right?
Yeah, there's a number of alternatives. There are practices like strip tilling, which is, you know, just working the ground where the crop is going to be planted, leaving the areas in between, the between rows, intact with full residue cover. There's no-till practices where, you know, a farmer can come in with a specially designed planter to plant straight through the residue. Practice adoption has increased dramatically over the past 50 years, but here in the Midwest, we still do see, you know, all different types of tillage practices.
You know, Liz, I want to ask you, Liz Ruppel with the Stewardship Alliance. One of the reasons we got onto this story when we did is because the Tribune had a big series looking at some of these issues. And one of the things they reported in there is that actually fewer farmers seem to be using these no-till methods over the last couple of decades here. Why has that been happening?
Yeah, I think, you know, like anyone, you want to have just like the perfect mix, and not everyone is going to have the same mix of conservation or conservation at all on their farm, and they're going to do what they might think is best for their ground. So, you know, you can't tell one farmer in Northern Illinois the same things that you might be able to tell another farmer in Southern Illinois, because we're just dealing with different types of soil, et cetera. So I think it plays a factor in just there are varying conditions all throughout Illinois. A huge factor that we talk about at the Stewardship Alliance, we are a group that is just trying to shift policy as much as we can at the state and federal level, is that there is a lack of support and funding for conservation programs. There might be hundreds of farmers here in Illinois waiting in line with their applications for programs that are in the Farm Bill, called the Conservation Stewardship Program, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, that are helping farmers to voluntarily adopt conservation practices. But unfortunately, we just do not have the adequate amount of funding. So it's called, these programs are called, they're underfunded and overprescribed. So we're also trying to work at this at the state level. This year, we passed the Partners for Conservation Reauthorization Act, which is going to help a little bit with voluntary adoption and give our soil water conservation districts a little more assistance to help farmers through technical assistance. But I think it's really, it comes down to the farmer and if he, she, or they would like to adopt these practices. We're dealing with generations of folks that are might be doing the same thing that grandma and grandpa did, or great grandma, great grandpa did, and they may not be willing to change. So the third piece of this is just having the community and the support that someone needs to make the switch, knowing that you might not be alone, and you have not only the funding to back it up, but a group of people that would like to see it through and help you put more conservation practices down.
Let me just take a moment to remind people this is the 21st show. We're talking about the dust storm and sort of looking back on some of the things that led to the conditions that resulted in an 84 car crash on Interstate 55 south of Springfield back in May. 8 people were killed. At least 3 more were injured. We're talking about this with Liz Ruppel, who's with the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, Dylan Cook with the American Farmland Trust, and Ed Schimmann with the National Weather Service office in Lincoln. And Ed, we talked a little bit about the warning that went out. And are there challenges in terms of forecasting these sorts of dust storms? You mentioned, not to overuse that metaphor, but the perfect storm of conditions. I know you can say there's a radar indicated threat for tornado. Is it a question of technology? What are some of the limitations we have in forecasting these sorts of dust storms?
Well, the two variables that need to come into play, you know, the very dry soil and the recently worked over soil are kind of, I mean, we know how dry the ground may be, but knowing whether or not the area has been recently worked over, the soil, I mean, is one variable. We just really don't have any informational flow into that area. So we can know that it's going to be really windy, and we can know that it's, you know, mid to late April. People have probably been in their fields, but how dry is dry enough? You know, we had about a 2 to 2.5 inch moisture deficit of rainfall in April, and that was enough this time for that May 1st storm. You know, what is the level like in the Southwest U.S.? It's a dusty soil area. It's almost always prepped for a dust storm if the winds get up to 50 miles an hour. You know, whereas in our area, we need that very dry surface soil and then have it be recently worked over. So that makes it really tough to forecast. We know if it's going to be windy, but that other variable about recently worked over soil, we wouldn't really be able to put in a forecast. We would maybe have like a weather story, and we'll say conditions are ripe for potentially lifting dust and lofting it into the atmosphere. But that actual dust storm warning, we need to have a little bit more evidence. Like we have a satellite panel from that we can monitor, and it colors dust a pinkish color, and we can see that. But that's after it's already been lifted. So, you know, then we're going to be warning after the fact. But it definitely confirms to us, you know, that it is occurring, and we can get that warning out as quickly as possible and recognize. Otherwise, yeah. Forecasting it is challenging.
Yeah. Dylan, what sort of things can farmers do to try and prevent this sort of tragedy from happening again?
Well, you know, as Ed mentioned, we can't control the weather. We can kind of have an idea of what's coming. What farmers can do is control what they can control, and those are, you know, that's their practices on the ground. For, you know, from AFT's perspective, we're strong proponents of minimizing tillage to the extent that's possible for each farm. Planting cover crops is another practice that we've been working to advocate and promote here in Illinois that doesn't have widespread adoption just yet, but can help keep soil in place in the event of a windstorm like we saw earlier this year. And the multiple benefits of this, Brian, are that these practices, reducing tillage and planting cover crops, help farmers prepare not just for the, you know, the perfect storm scenario that we saw this spring, but also, you know, perfect storms on the opposite end of the spectrum. In a wet year, reduced tillage and cover crops can also help farmers mitigate the impacts of wet and compacted soil. You know, we would just love to see soil covered, and we'd love to see as little disturbance as possible. And to have that happen in a way that, you know, farmers can still make a few dollars at the end of the day.
Liz, I think probably the exit question to you, I mentioned at the top, you know, there were comparisons to the Dust Bowl. Obviously, we're not in that sort of widespread, you know, generational situation we experienced then. But I mean, were there lessons from that time that have stayed with us, and what should we be taking away from that?
Yeah, great question. I think there are many lessons that maybe we are still learning and we're kind of repeating some of the same practices, seeing the Dust Bowl, just due to the economic conditions and the need to grow wheat. We were overproducing wheat, so we extracted all of the wonderful native prairie and we started to plant wheat after wheat after wheat. And here in Illinois, we're seeing some of the lack of diversification, and we are not seeing as many other rotations on the ground. And as Dylan said, we're not seeing as many cover crops as I think, you know, the Stewardship Alliance and American Farmland Trust would like to see out in the fields. So we're continuing to go down that path. But there are ways that, you know, we can switch, and hopefully the next 10 years, we don't see another one of these devastating dust storms. We don't see the water erosion that we have here in Illinois either, because we are voluntarily adapting conservation practices and shielding our soil. It's when these invisible problems become visible that I think our attention starts to spike. But these, you know, water erosion is occurring all the time whenever we have an increased rainfall event.
Sure.
And, you know, we're seeing just the wind erosion, a little bit of a less occurrence, but we just don't want to keep going in the same path as.
Sure. Well, we will try to keep it top of mind here on the 21st Show. Liz Ruppel, Dylan Cook, and Ed Shimon, thank you so much for being with us today. That is all the time we have for our program. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will be back with you again tomorrow.